Seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and all these other things will be provided to you. Matthew 6:33. If you were to go to an encyclopedia or to Wikipedia and search for the word syncretism, it would be helpful if you would find photos of Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Benny Hinn, Brian Houston, Kenneth Hagin. Syncretism is defined as reconciliation or fusion of differing systems of belief, as in philosophy or religion, especially when success is partial or the result is heterogeneous. The merging of two or more originally different inflectional forms. Attempted union of principles or parties irreconcilably at variance with each other. The union or fusion into one of two or more originally different inflectional forms, as of two cases. The reconciliation or fusion of different systems or beliefs, or the attempt at such fusion. The fusion of different inflectional. The fusion of originally different inflected forms, resulting in a reduction in the use of inflections. The union, or attempted fusion, of different systems of thought or belief, especially in religion or philosophy. These people, and others like them, who hold a similar or the same view of the Bible, preach and teach a motivational style of prosperity and how to attain it or at least how to be the best you, now. Jesus refers to these types of teachers as false teachers and wolves. They drape their sales pitch and the ensuing sales training pitch with religious language found in the Bible. Of course, they reconstruct the language to fit their worldly and secular language so they can sell their merchandise, subscription membership to their websites, fake religious artifacts and memorabilia, and to solicit their millions of dollars in donations in order to keep them in business and to gain God's favor. I have to admit, however, that I have found some of their messages entertaining and even motivational for personal gain. On the other hand, there are more direct and transparent motivational speakers. On such man who is a motivational speaker and a personal life coach is Tony Robbins, and I am not recommending or pitching for him. He says it for what it is. As he puts it, extraordinary lives answering to a higher calling, a life on your terms, both of deep meaning and incredible impact. Driven by the pursuit of excellence and guided by a profound sense of purpose. I.e., work hard, be good, reach for excellence in the personal pursuit of success and wealth while enriching the lives of those around you. Although many of the principles Tony espouses can be found in the Bible, it not religious and it is not Bible-based and never claims to be. Does the Bible ever talk about wealth and gaining wealth, success and fame? The honest answer to the question is yes. The Bible does not shy away from this subject and in the Bible refers to the subject of prosperity around 125 times. The broader subject of prosperity, to prosper, wealth or to be wealthy, to be rich or riches is mentioned in various contexts about 290 times. Furthermore, Deuteronomy chapter 28 has a lot to say about prosperity and frames it within the idea of blessings from God. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. And Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 plainly state, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The Bible talks frequently about both the advantages and the disadvantages of obtaining wealth and success. There are instructions about gaining wealth and how to handle it. But there are also stern warning about the pitfalls of wealth and its consequences. The Bible refers to King Solomon, Abraham, King David, Job, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, Lydia, Joseph of Arimathea, Hezekiah and a few others as being wealthy. Some as the richest men in the world at that time. Some estimate King Solomon's wealth in today's currency at between $2 billion to as much as $2 trillion. But the Bible is clear that we are not to first seek riches, wealth and fame. Matthew 6:19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Verse 20. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal." Verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 22. "The eye is the lamp of the body, so then, if your eye is, and clear, your whole body will be full of light." Verse 23. "But if your eye is bad, or evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Verse 26. "Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they?" Verse 27. "And which of you by worrying can add a single day to his lifespan?" Verse 28. "And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow, they do not labor nor do they spin thread for cloth." Verse 29. "Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these." Verse 30. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." Verse 31. "Do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing?" Verse 32. "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. If this is so, and if I am to seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, what are these things? What am I looking for, and how do I find them?" Righteousness carries the meaning of just or righteous. Tzedek, and is found in Strong's Concordance, Hebrew language reference number 6664, is often translated as righteousness or justice, referring to the moral and ethical standards expected by God. It refers to righteousness in terms of right actions and justice, often used in the context of God's covenant faithfulness and the ethical obligations of his people. These Hebrew terms provide the Old Testament background for the New Testament understanding, highlighting the continuity of God's righteous standards and his provision for humanity's right standing with him through faith. The New Testament describes the righteousness that comes from God and is imputed to believers through faith in Jesus Christ. It encompasses both the legal standing of being declared righteous before God and the ethical conduct that flows from this status. The concept is central to the New Testament's message of salvation and ethical living. It is frequently associated with the righteousness of God, which is revealed in the gospel and is accessible to humanity through faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness is not based on human merit or works but is a gift from God, as seen in Romans 3:22, and this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In the teachings of Jesus, it is often linked to the kingdom of God and the ethical demands of living as a disciple. For instance, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus emphasizes the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33 BSB, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The Apostle Paul elaborates on the doctrine of righteousness in his epistles, particularly in Romans and Galatians. He explains that righteousness is credited to believers apart from works, as exemplified by Abraham's faith, Romans 4:3 BSB, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This imputed righteousness results in a transformed life, leading to ethical behavior that reflects God's character. Furthermore, this is not only a legal standing but also involves the process of sanctification, where believers grow in holiness and conformity to Christ's image. This dual aspect of righteousness, positional and practical, is a recurring theme in the New Testament, encouraging believers to live out their faith in tangible ways. So, to recap and simplify, God's righteousness and His kingdom is the moral and ethical standards expected by God, God's righteous standards and His provision for humanity's right standing with Him through faith, salvation and ethical living, the ethical demands of living as a disciple. This involves the process of sanctification. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In other words, it's all about obedience to God and the building of your character in conformity to His righteousness and according the standards of His kingdom, then all these other things will be provided. There can be much more said in this pursuit. But, believe it when the Bible simply says that you must first have the attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus. See Philippians 2. If you want any degree of success, God says you are to walk by the Spirit, so you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not enter nor will you inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Seek His righteousness. Seek His kingdom. Enjoy the ensuing success. Your brother and friend, Mike Young. Oh, and by the way, you may find success in fame, wealth, property or power in this world, but God's definition of success is not measured in those terms. It is measured in terms of the soul. May you prosper even as your soul prospers. It is measured in healthy family relationships, in friendships and acquaintances, in how you treat others, in good physical, emotional and mental health, in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control and the like. Obtain these things and all the other things will be provided.